Hey, social salad family and friends of the family. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And today we're going to talk to you about social media updates. But before we get started, Sydney, you got to watch the Netflix documentary on the Fyre Festival, right?
Yeah, I actually watched both. So I watched the Netflix one, and then I think there's also an HBO one. And they're essentially the same thing, but they're a little different. And it was so interesting. Like, I don't know if you remember, but I saw all the ads for the Fyre Festival and everything. And then to watch this documentary and see how they really did it, first of all, is crazy. It's just ridiculous. And then from a marketing standpoint, genius. And I couldn't tell, what was his name, Billy? Mm-hmm. Is that the guy who did it? I couldn't tell if he was actually like insane or if he just had, you know, such an ego and he just didn't want to fail that like he kept going.
If the marketing was so good, why was it such a huge failure?
Because the marketing succeeded, but what didn't succeed is the actual like setup. Like mm-hmm. they weren't getting anything done on the back end. Like they could market anything, but unless you have something to show for it, I mean, they made it seem like there is this huge festival. So the marketing worked because they sold out. They had all these people flying in. They really had people hooked. They had celebrities, influencers. They
I
had
remember,
all these
yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Like, could you imagine just like showing up and having like be? Like, it was kind of like a horror movie. Like, if you haven't watched it, you need to. It's like crazy. But on the other end, like they did it in such a short amount of time. They didn't have time to get things done, and that's really what happened. So they can market it, you know, however they want, but it's like any business. You can market it however you want. It could be a great, you know, great branding, great vision, great everything. But then the execution of it could be crap.
You know, it's kind of like, I know we talk about this a lot, but you see all of those like ads scrolling through Instagram and Facebook, and it's like,
right,
join my program and you'll, you know, make $100,000 a month or something like that. And it's like really good marketing, but then mm-hmm. you actually do the program and it is terrible. Like,
right.
They're not giving you any information, really. All they're trying to do is sell you something more. So it's kind of like one of those things where, and it's almost like a cautionary tale. You really do have to watch out for what is being marketed to you. And before you invest in anything like a really expensive festival ticket to a festival that is brand new,
right,
or you know, a course or something, you need to do your research on it for sure.
I know. And you know what's crazy though is like, if you see, this is the problem with the internet, you know, celebrities were endorsing it. They got Kendall Jenner on there, all of these top models. And it's like, you see you trust it. And when you trust something like that, you're like, okay, this is a legitimate festival. They're showing videos. They're putting so much money into it that like, why wouldn't it be real? And I think their intention was for it to be real. I don't think the intention, it didn't seem like, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think they meant for it to like totally flop. And I think they knew it was going to.
Isn't the guy facing jail time now?
I think at the end it said he went for 6 years, but okay. I don't know. There could be something, an update. He did some sketchy things as they went on.
Oh.
You know, people really trusted him at first. And I just think that you trust when you see these big influencers, you trust it.
Why did they trust him? Who was he?
He owns some other business. And I think the business, and I might be wrong, was that you can go online and get tickets for concerts at cheaper prices or something like that. I forget the name of it. But then a lot, like the reviews were bad. Like a lot of people would say, oh yeah, I just bought this, but then I never got like something was off about him. So like, I think he was just like some super ambitious guy that wanted to be the next huge social media entrepreneur, like multi-million dollar guy that he just, I don't know if he was a psychopath or if he was just, it was his ego. Like you really can't, when you're watching it, you kind of can see both side. There's so much that goes into it, and people were warning him, and he had this vision. And so because he had this vision, people trusted him on his team. And you know, like the brand and the Instagram Fuck Jerry?
No.
You don't? Oh my god, it's hilarious. Okay, everybody needs to go follow that. It's great. It's a huge agency now. You know the game What Do You Meme?
No.
Okay, well, you need to go do your research on that, but they did the marketing for it. And you know, it's just crazy how on social media how much influencers can impact something, and it's not always legitimate. That's the problem. Like when I see people actually promoting products or brands, especially big influencers, I don't necessarily buy it because I'm like, okay, brands are paying them a lot of money. Maybe it's a great product and maybe they truly believe in it and maybe they truly use it. But it's just, to me, you never know. So it was very interesting.
You really don't. You know, I actually have a product I have to post about today, and I'm saying this in the product, but they gave me, I had 7 days to post about it before, 7 days to test it before a review, and it's skincare. And I'm mm-hmm. sitting here thinking, I can't give them a review in 7 days, and I'm going to right. straight up say that. And I actually had to talk to the company that I was working with recently because I was trying to review something else, but they only gave me a month to test it, and it will not work for you in a month. Like, it will start working maybe after two or 3 months, but 1 month is not going to tell me anything. And I had to say, I can't, like, I'm sorry, I have these products, I've been using them, but I cannot review it because I can't see results yet. Like, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, these are great, when it hasn't been enough time for me to know if they're working. So yeah, you definitely, yeah. It definitely sometimes is hard for, I think, influencers, because they do have to work within the parameters of the brand. And if the brand doesn't give you enough time to test out their products, you know, you do feel the pressure to say, well, this was really great because this brand is paying me to say that. But
right. Patience is the name of the game, yeah. I think. Yeah. I mean, it's not always what you want. No one wants to be patient. Everyone wants an instant gratification. They want it right now. But the truth is that if you really want to be, I mean, I can't say that these influencers aren't successful and these brands aren't successful with this strategy. What I'm saying is that you always have to be careful because mm-hmm. of exactly what you're saying. Or this Fyre Festival, for example, you have to be really careful and make sure when you're following someone, if you go to buy something from someone, that you really trust them and you know that they're giving you value, and they're not just being paid for it. You know, Megan yeah. obviously isn't going to put anything out there that she's just being paid for. She's honest. Like, if she likes something, you'll know it. Like, if I like something, you'll know it. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way that we work. So it's very interesting.
It is really interesting. And what else is interesting are all of the updates that have happened so far in 2019 or near the end of last year. So Sydney, do you want to go ahead and get us started with updates?
So I'm sure you've seen a few changes on social media lately, and we really just want to keep you informed what's real, what's not real, where you might need to step up your game. We're giving you all the updates so that you can continue to acquire more success. I'm a huge, huge, huge believer in continuing education, so I love how all of our members in the Social Salad are always asking us questions to keep their strategy on point, so to speak.
Yeah.
If social media isn't your business, or even if it is, so many brands have a presence online, and it's crucial to understand any changes that occur because that can really impact your game, and you need to understand that. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the new Facebook group update that everybody is talking about, and Facebook recently announced this. So have any of you with Facebook groups noticed a decrease in numbers? Yes or no? Not that you can answer, but we actually didn't see much of a decrease in the Social Salad, to be honest, but many Facebook group admins did. Now, if you do not have a Facebook group, that's okay, because there's a chance that you might not be part of some of your favorite groups anymore, which is so sad. But let me give you the inside scoop of what's actually going on. When this first happened and groups started dropping members, people were panicking, and I was seeing it all over Facebook. And some people mm-hmm. thought that people were being removed who weren't actually engaging in the group. And some thought that members...
Yes, I remember hearing this.
Yeah, and some people thought that members who were actually invited to the group were being removed. So others also thought that admins who added members manually were getting removed. So there's a few things that were up in the air, but here's the deal. It's one of the above, but not all of the above. So don't worry. And it's actually a good thing and not a bad thing. See, you want members of your group to be people who actually want to be there. Like you can see in the Social Salad, we have a very high engagement rate, and there's a reason for that. And it's all about your strategy, but you want people in there who might find value in the content you publish, who are more likely to engage, or who will for sure take something away from what you offer. You want them to, the people to relate to you, to your brand, or a similar interest. You don't want 10,000 group members with only 500 members engaged. That is, first of all, right, not a good look. And it's not. And it throws me off when I go to groups, I see 20,000 members. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of members. But then there's like no engagement. So I know that if I post something, I'm not going to get an answer.
I was just in a group where that happened. And the owner of the group, what are they? What are we called? Admins? The admin of the group posted and she said, oh, I'm so grateful. We just hit, and it may have been about 20,000 members, maybe 25. But she got 2 likes on it, and I haven't seen an update in that group in a while. And so
yeah.
I am honestly wondering where some of those members came from, but it was really interesting to me.
Right, and that's a problem. And some of those members might have actually joined, but they just don't care about the group. And that means that the admin probably just didn't have a good strategy with going after the right people. So when you have little engagement, huge group, that all means that those members aren't actually quality members, is what we're trying to say. And what that means is that those thousands of members, they're not purchasing. And Facebook groups are meant to help you grow your brand, build relationships, gather data, get to know people, and learn together. Not to spam and just to make it look like a huge group. That's right. Not a thing. You know, where does that get you? Nowhere. So here's the deal. Have you ever received a notification that you've been added to a Facebook group? I have. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Facebook group admins often use this as a strategy to grow their group. They go through their friends list, or they'll even friend people, and then they'll press invite to group, invite to group, invite to group. And this is something that we do not partake in at the right. Social Salad, because we're not just going to invite people just to invite them. We would ask them if we think that they might find it beneficial. If not, right. There's no point. But it's common that other admins do it, and we're not here to judge. We're just giving you the facts, and we have our own system of getting genuine people who might be interested, and it works. Anyway, after these admins invite those new members, oftentimes those members just turn off their notifications rather than even leaving the group. I don't know why. That's just, or they leave the group and don't accept it. You know, many things, but they often just turn off their notifications, so you can still see their name under the members list. So
right.
They're still in the group, but they may just not see the content, so they're not going to engage. Basically, what's happening is that instead of those invited members becoming part of the group right away and on the members list, they'll be put on an invited list. And until they actually accept that invite, they are essentially pending.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fair, totally yeah. reasonable. If they want to be part of the group, they'll accept it. If not, they won't. So those invited members will no longer be included in the member group count until they manually accept. So if you are a Facebook group admin of any industry and you saw a decrease in members, it could simply be because those quote unquote members just hadn't accepted their invite yet. And those invites may not have come from you, by the way. They may have come from other members who invited people to the group who haven't accepted. There's a lot of reasons why this could happen. So now
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Is this going to the number of invites, will that negatively affect you if they haven't joined?
I really don't. If so far, I haven't read anything about that. I really okay. don't think so. I don't think it can negatively affect you. I just think that if it's pending, it's pending. And if they don't accept, they're not meant to be in your group. And if they accept and they engage and they're learning, then great. But, you know, I think part of the Facebook group is to bring people into the community, and not mm-hmm. everybody is going to want to be part of that community. So I don't think that it's going to hold anything against you. But if Facebook comes out with something about that, I will, of course, update, you know, everybody listening to this podcast so that you know. but yeah, so now as a member in a Facebook group, you may have been removed only if you hadn't accepted the invite yet. And it's not a big deal because you can still join. So if you were removed, you can still join or accept that invite, just so you know. Because some people have messaged me and actually said, I'm not part of this group anymore. I know you're also part of it. Can you invite me? Or whatever the situation is, that's possible. So
one other question, Sydney.
Yeah.
Prior to people accepting the invite, if they were invited, do you, and I understand with the algorithm, if they don't engage, we won't show up in their feed. But in the beginning, if they were invited, do we show up in their feed?
I think only if they accepted the invite, they're going to show up. I think prior to, yeah, unless they turned off notifications, I think that they would see it.
Got it.
Yeah. So Facebook will now also provide admins with the ability. So if you're an admin, listen up, because Facebook will provide admins with the ability to send a reminder to each of the people invited to the group to re-prompt them to join if they hadn't already accepted. So that's Yeah, I like that too. As admins of the Social Salad, that's good, because there might be someone who's really, really interested, who could be really interested, and, you know, just sending them that reminder could help increase your chances of having them part of your community. So if those users that were invited don't take action or manually accept, they just won't be added or listed in the group member counts. That's it. So my opinion in all of this is that Facebook actually made a logical and smart decision, to be completely honest. There are so many groups that have so many inactive members, and the more active, the more engaged, the more we learn, and the better the relationships we build, and the more we can help each other and bond. And isn't that, that's the point of Facebook groups, you know?
Right.
And you'll actually end up being more successful. So if you're missing some content from groups in your newsfeed, go rejoin, because you weren't kicked out by any means. You probably didn't accept an invite, and same for other Facebook group admins. Know all of this and use this as a way to generate more engagement and build better relationships and add people who truly might benefit and gain value from your group. Everyone really wins with this strategy. So I think this was a good move on Facebook's end. Make sure you always turn on your notifications for groups that you want to see the content for and engage, because that's how you'll get the most out of it. But really, it's just to make sure that the people in the groups are quality people, genuine people, people who want to be there, rather than creating these big groups that ends up being spam.
That's really great then. And make sure you turn on post notifications, not just on Facebook, but do it on Instagram too, for the accounts that you love. That way you're not missing out on anything. Okay. So on to Instagram, and we'll talk very briefly about it. But I want to point out, and we hear this every time constantly in every single group about, not even just about Instagram, but seriously, every group that someone mentions it, mentions algorithm changes. I want to say this is exactly what Facebook says, or what Instagram says, but there are no new changes to the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
They're really on top of this now, because Instagram, just so you know, they can't secretly change terms on us, right? They can't secretly make a change in how it affects, I guess, how, not necessarily how we use the platform, but how the platform affects us. They can't make that change without telling us.
Wait, that's so important, because so many people are blaming everything. They're like, oh, the Instagram algorithm changed. Oh, the Facebook algorithm changed. It'll change when they let you know it changed.
Yeah, absolutely. They always put out a statement. And actually, Instagram went, this was on the 22nd of January, so just a couple days ago, they went on Twitter, which I think is funny, and they addressed this, and I'll read you this. If it gets too long, I'll probably cut some of it out, but I'm going to read it to you. They said, we've noticed an uptick in posts about Instagram limiting the reach of your photos to 7% of your followers, and would love to clear this up. What shows up first in your feed is determined by what posts and accounts you engage with the most, as well as other contributing factors such as timeline of posts, how often you use Instagram, how many people you follow, etc. We have not made any recent changes to feed ranking. I don't think they've made a change since last summer. Mm-hmm. And we never hide posts from people you're following. If you keep scrolling, you will see them all. Again, your feed is personalized to you and evolves over time based on how you use Instagram.
I think people notice that too. You know, you can go and, you know, you start searching through Instagram, you start looking at different accounts, and then you'll start to notice in your newsfeed, or what's the other thing called, where the little search thing, and it has all the like new accounts that you can see. It's all things that you were recently looking at.
Uh-huh.
So that's really all it is that you're going to see more of what you're looking at.
Yep. Which is great. It's one of those things where, you know, we always say, if you find something that works, then keep doing it. And that's kind of the same idea. Instagram and the algorithm says, okay, this is something they like, we're going to keep showing them.
Right.
Like that's exactly what it is. So if you're not seeing posts from accounts you like, you better be interacting with those accounts. Like, comment, watch their stories, send them a DM. If they put a poll in their stories, make sure you're clicking on it. Like, you have to engage. And the other thing, which we'll talk about in a second, more in depth, but the longer you are on a post, the longer you're on someone's account, the longer you actually watch their stories instead of clicking through, that also tells the algorithm this is what you're interested in, and they will come up higher on your feed, and they'll come up higher in the little story bubbles. So it's all about how you engage with the accounts. And keep that in mind when you're thinking, oh, no, the algorithm must be affecting my reach. Keep in mind that, no, it's the people who are your followers. That's what is affecting your reach, because, and it's your content. It's you're putting out content they don't want to engage with, basically.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say that. So many people don't want to hear it, and they just want to blame someone else. But at that point, the minute the words, oh, it's the Facebook algorithm that's ruining my, or the Instagram algorithm that's ruining my Instagram, the minute you say those words, you need to change your strategy on Instagram.
Right. I agree.
Okay. So then really the only real update that Instagram had are if you've noticed, if you have multiple accounts, so like we have multiple accounts because we have clients. So I've got, you know, right, my account, we've got Social Salad, and I've got our clients' accounts all under my account. But if you've noticed, when you go to share, you can share now to multiple accounts. So when you press the share button, you're uploading a photo and you press the share button. It used to be that you could choose to share it to your Facebook page, but now you can choose to share it to all of those other multiple accounts. I don't know why you would do that.
Nope.
Honestly,
no,
I don't see how it would be beneficial, but I guess it was beneficial for someone.
So you know what it would be beneficial? Like when there's like a huge hurricane or a natural disaster and you want to let everybody know that you're okay, you just want to send like one post and like let it go out to all of the accounts. That is one reason that just makes everything easier. Other than that, like a natural disaster, letting everyone know that you're safe and alive, I really don't know why would do that.
Yeah, I still haven't found a way to use it. But the other update they made, and this was near the end of last year, but you can now do video scheduling. So I have to double check with Buffer because I could not schedule a video today, as we talked about earlier. But I know with Hootsuite.
Wasn't there some book called Hootsuite or something that?
It's Zoot Suit. The song is like Zoot Suit Riot, right?
Yes, yes. And I read that in high
always,
school.
No, it's a song. Or it's a song. Is that really a book?
A book. It was something in a book, or it's a type of we'll resolve this later. Yes. It's a type. Yes. It's in a song, but it's also like, it was either a book or a type of person or some group of people.
If you know what she is referencing,
please let us know.
Please comment about what it is. Cause now I'm really curious.
I'm a 25 year old elderly woman and I really can't remember my high school days. So if anyone knows, let me know.
You can schedule through different scheduling apps. You can schedule videos now, which is great because, again, Instagram is really pushing videos. They're pushing stories. They're pushing IGTV. I don't think you can schedule stories yet. I hope that is coming because I have a million folders on my phone with yes, stories for each day that need to be scheduled, and it just takes up space. The next thing we can talk about are updates to Pinterest, and there are two that really took place recently. So the first one started to test it out with ads near the end of last year in November, but now it's available to all businesses where if you have a business account, where you can do a carousel pin. So like, just like on Instagram, you can post multiple images just in one pin. And it actually does kind of end up functioning like a story because you then just kind of scroll through it. You know, you scroll through, you can click on each individual pin, you can make it a full image, kind of swipe across it to make it bigger so you can see better. But it's just a better way to showcase different parts of the products. And I think this is going to be, obviously it's great for brands and it's great for products, but one thing I think it will be really beneficial for is influencers. So if they have a business account, if you're an influencer with a business account, or like I would do this, anytime I have like a Shop the Look pin, I can add multiple images. So like I can add my look, and then I can add, you know, one image of each thing I'm wearing. I can zoom into different parts. Like, you can really take advantage of that. I think influencers can especially take advantage of that. So that's kind of an interesting thing that they're doing. And then the other thing that is really great is they announced this very recently. It was just a couple of days ago. Let me look here. January 24th. So now they're announcing, let me see what it says here. You can discover personalized makeup and hair ideas on the go that are specialized to your skin tone. So it used to be that people would have to type in, like, you know, makeup for dark skin, makeup for pale skin, makeup for olive skin. And everyone was getting really frustrated because they felt like pinners shouldn't have to work a little bit extra and add extra words to find something that is relevant to them. Mm-hmm. So now what they're doing is just making their searches more inclusive, more beauty inclusive is what they say.
I like that. I think that's a really positive. Good.
So you can actually like click, like you can choose the skin tone over the coming weeks as you search hair, as you search for makeup and hair ideas on iOS, select a palette to narrow your search from the dropdown in the upper left corner. And so you select your palette, and then when you start doing your searches, you don't have to worry about typing in what skin tone you are. It already will pull up images that will suit what you, that will fit you personally. So it's a lot more personalized, which I think is great.
I like that. I think that's good. I'll just have to type in white as a ghost. Actually, I was at dinner the other night with my family and Pedro, and someone complimented my shoes, and I was wearing pants. They weren't like, they were like, the pants came a little bit like mid calf, right?
Uh-huh.
And I looked down at my shoes to say thank you, and I realized, wow, my legs are so white, and I live in Miami, like, but like they were whiter than like the sidewalk. I was like, oh my god, I think I might need to go out in the sun a little bit. This looks a little scary, but I like this. I like this for Pinterest.
I feel like it's because way to go Pinterest, but I feel like that's just because we, you know, you and I, and I left the house for 2 days last week, and I was like, oh my god, what is life like? What is this magical world that I'm in? But you and I are just like, we work so much.
I know. I stand at the window and look at the sunlight, and that makes me happy.
You're like Rapunzel, like, oh yeah, only.
I'm at the top of my apartment looking out at the sunlight and appreciating it. I forget to actually walk outside. I feel like, right? that sounds like a quote.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, no, it's a good tool. We like to have a sense of humor and fun with this. We're going to start sharing more of our personality within the Social Salad podcast.
Because we have awesome personalities.
We do.
So you'll definitely get, I think it's important. It's actually something that other businesses, as you're listening, start to think about the things that we do and start using them and implementing them in your own business. Like, mm-hmm. Including your personality is key to finding your following.
Right. It really is.
Actually, you know, I'm about to wrap up. Today might be the last day. How many days are in December? Oh my God, what month is it? Tomorrow is the last day. If you haven't noticed, our Instagram is doing this. So and I kind of mentioned this a little bit, but we are taking our Instagram kind of on a different ride.
Yeah.
A little bit of
literally, because you'll see some roller coasters in there, right? There's some roller coasters. So it's a real ride.
What we're going to do, what we have been doing, is we created a brand. If you haven't noticed, it's called the Social Seltzer. I tried to make it a little bit social salad-y, but I also just like the name. That is actually a thing. Social Seltzer is actually a drink, and they have like one photo on Instagram.
We decided to take over for them.
It's really old. Yeah. So we're showing them how to do their branding, but we're not. What we did was we created the branding for this, for this fake drink or real drink, but we created the branding for it, and we put things on social media that were either really great branding or not so great branding. We're going to be putting this together in a video, just, and it will be on our IGTV, but just so you can see what works and what doesn't work, and you can see it, you know, if it's in your industry. So this is for a product. And I talk a lot specifically, and I think our Instagram does as well, about service-based businesses. But this way, if you're a product-based business, you also have something to use as a guide for what you should and should not do. But that's also, it's also just something that Sydney and I do, a tactic that you can use, you know, or it's a tactic we try and give you, a tool we try and give you, is just to watch how we develop our business in relation to our members, right? Mm-hmm. And you can take that and do the same with your business and with your customers and clients.
And I think that's really important, because you are right now watching us grow our brand. So Megan and I both have, before we started the Social Salad, social media agencies, I still have my marketing agency, and my client, I have a handful of clients, but the client type in general, the demographic, is not on social media. So right. My marketing is not on social media, because they're not going to find me there. My client needs to hire me to do it for them. So I never built up my social media before, because there was no need. My clients had these big brands. They had their museums, their people who run big businesses in the construction industry. They're not sitting on Facebook and Instagram. So that's not where I was going to find them. So now what we're doing is we've really taken the time to build up Social Salad. And so you get to watch it, you know, firsthand, like how it's being done. So take every lesson. And, you know, what we're doing for the Social Salad is what we do for all of our clients anyways. And you can see the extreme growth, even with the Facebook group. I mean, it's been like 7 months, and we're getting close to 4,000 members, not just 4,000, but engaged members. Our engagement rate is around, I don't know, 90% or so. And it's profitable. So, and that's what you guys want, and that's what we want to help you do. So you're watching this firsthand, whether it's the group, Instagram, whatever it is. Now you're watching us build another aspect of that's not just the marketing for clients that we do month to month, that are these bigger high-end clients, but for everybody and entrepreneurs looking to start their business, you can learn from us.
We all grow together. That's what the community is about.
It is. And it's a really good community.
I think that's another, we love it. I know we're going to talk about trends here in a second, but I think that's another trend that is really going to come in 2019, especially with promoting your business, is really getting involved. We talk a lot about networking and community, and I think it's important to network outside of the internet. But I think one trend in 2019 is going to be really getting involved in Facebook communities, in your Facebook groups, and starting to realize the importance and the value that those relationships can bring to you. A lot of you are businesses that are just starting out, or your businesses that are struggling and need to transition and start growing in a different direction. So you'll start connecting with people like us who are also growing our business, and we all just kind of support each other and grow together. And I think that's going to be more of a trend than, here, let me tell you what to do and sell you my $2,000 course kind of thing. That doesn't work.
I hate that.
You know, that it only works to benefit the people who you're shelling out the money to.
And it's not long lasting either. You're looking to build a long lasting business, one where eventually the marketing does its own work. You know, like, your efforts have paid off, and it's all about doing it the right way. And Megan's right. That's a really good trend. You know, really networking and getting to know people and building relationships. It's not even a trend. It's more necessary. It's crucial.
Absolutely crucial. Another trend, though, I think that, you know, we will be looking at in 2019, stories. Not just on Instagram, but on Facebook too. This is really important. Facebook stories have not been as popular as Instagram stories. That doesn't mean people don't watch them, but people aren't using them as often. So that is something that you need to take advantage of now, because people will start to use them more, especially businesses.
Right.
So start doing it now. start.
So that you don't look back and say, later I wish I would have like, started then.
One, if you start putting your business in those stories right now, you're going to be the first person that pops up in all of your followers' feeds, right? They're always going to see your brand in a little circle at the top of their feed. That is valuable, valuable Facebook real estate you want to have. So use it. Right now is the perfect time to use it. On Instagram.
You'll thank us later.
Yes, absolutely. On Instagram as well.
You'll thank yourself.
On Instagram as well. It's going to be, it's really where everything's going. Just Instagram stories. And I'm waiting for the day when the next platform comes out, the next social media platform comes out, that's not necessarily Snapchat because it just got a little too cheesy. It got a little too childish and it got a little too pedophile. I mean, that's what happens, right? Like it got creepy. So I'm waiting for that next
platform. I like Snapchat. I like the filters. I still use the filters. I love Snapchat. I'm not afraid to admit it. But I don't use it for business.
I use filters. Like when I'm talking on our Instagram, like our business Instagram, I will use filters. Like we have to, I know the importance of stories. And even if I look horrible that day, we work from home. I don't always put on makeup. I don't necessarily want you guys to see my face without makeup though. I mean, some days I'm like, wow, I look great. And some days I look like a pizza. So...
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! It's horrible.
It's what sheet masks are.
I know.
For.
I started using.
I do them three times.
I started
a week.
Using them. Anyway.
Really? Oh yeah. We talked about this.
The Neutrogena hydrogel face mask, by the way, is the worst. Don't even try it.
Oh, I haven't. It heard actually. That one. Or did we talk about it?
We don't need to talk about it now. But no, it's not great. anyway, so Facebook Story is definitely where it's at. Facebook and Instagram stories. The reason for this is because you will get more of a reach and you will have greater impressions. So
that is important.
Your story will be visible to people and it will increase the reach of your account and it will increase the impressions of your account. More people will see it. You will be getting more eyeballs on you, which is super important. The story length, as I talked about earlier, that is also so important. And we can see that because Instagram updated to one of those continuous records that Snapchat did a long time ago. You know, now you can continuously record for sometimes a really long time. I feel like it's too long. But it's not. Yeah. They did it because, one, people wanted it. People wanted it when they use it and people wanted it when they watch it. Sometimes it's just it kind of messes with the flow when you see 15 seconds and then there's a pause and then you see another 15 seconds. So I like that continuous flow just as a viewer. And it's much, much, much easier when you're actually recording things. It's definitely, as a business who is not used to recording short things like that, this new continuous record that they have is going to make things so much easier on you. The reason that they do it though, as I said earlier, is the longer someone stays on your content, so the longer that they actually watch your stories instead of just tapping through, the algorithm starts to think, oh, this person's content is really interesting. So I'm going to start putting them higher and higher in the feed. So you want to be doing stories. You want to do stories every single day. You want to do a lot of stories. I would say, you know, max out your little scroll thing in the beginning, max out with just one continuous record story. I actually don't have a clue how long that is. Do you?
I have no idea, but I was just going to ask you what are the most effective kinds of Instagram stories? Where are people really going to benefit? Is it video? Is it posting pictures? How can people make the most out of Instagram stories? I think that I know where this topic today is about updates on social media, but stories are also a trend. It's really an important part of your social media strategy. So how can people use it and be effective with it? What do you suggest?
I definitely suggest video over just like static pictures. 100%.
And what should they chat about? Just their day, what they're up to, what's going on in their business behind the scenes?
There's so much that you can talk about. One, you can start with just doing the basics of like you know, this is what we do each day in our business, showcasing your products or showcasing, you know, different specials, things like that. But really what you want to do is kind of what Sydney and I are doing today, which is starting to let your followers see your personality. You want these Instagram stories to be completely organic. They can't seem too overproduced because it just seems, it doesn't seem genuine. As stories, they really are, they're not infallible. Like, stories are imperfect. They're real life. And I think that's one thing that draws people to stories. I think it's perfectly fine when someone messes up on a story and they call themselves out and then they keep going. That's not a big deal at all. And in fact, it's kind of one of those things.
It's real.
And you see that the person that you're watching is not this flawless image that you have. But you also see it with brands. You see that, you know, the brand that you're watching is real, and that they are, the people behind it are attainable people. A lot of times when we think about brands, we think, oh, you know, it's owned by some big, you know, fancy business person who lives in a high rise in New York and whatever. And sometimes that's really hard to relate to because that doesn't seem like there's a message behind the brand. You want people, and especially because we work so much with small businesses, you really want them to see that there is a person behind the brand. You are not some huge Procter and Gamble type company. Is that a thing still?
It sure is. So.
You're not,
it is.
I'm not up on some
it's
of that
a
stuff.
Huge company.
It's a huge company. You're not that company. So when people are investing, when people buy your products or buy your services, they're investing in you. They're investing in your family. They're investing in small businesses and communities. They need to be able to see that. And a lot of times with these small businesses, I see on Instagram, I will purchase from a small business if I want something, not because I love their product, but because I love the person who's promoting it, or not the promoting it, but I love the person who's behind it. I love the mission who's behind it, the mission that's behind it. I have come to trust that person because I watch them so much. So when I sit here and think, okay, I need stationery for, you know, I need some stationery and stuff for like a kid's birthday party. I need to order invites and thank you cards and a little bit of decorations. And I know that I've been watching this story of the small business who creates it. I will go to that before I go to Party City, or I will go to that before I go to Amazon, even though I'm probably going to be spending a little bit more money, because I have gotten to know the person behind the brand through stories. That is what you need to be letting people, that is what you need to be doing, is connecting with people through the stories. And then obviously show your stuff too. But, you know, use your feed for that. You can use your feed for the static photos and for the products. And the story is really about telling the story of who you are in your life, letting people in.
The story is your story.
Absolutely. I like
think
that.
Think about it that way.
Absolutely.
So I actually want to end this with a tip that doesn't have to do with social media updates, but it can. But my tip for you is to start reading more. And it actually does have to do with updates in general in life, because I think education is non-negotiable. It's something that you should always be continuing your education and reading and learning. And something that I've started doing is reading every single night. I have a whole list of books. I'm sure you've seen in the social salad, I've done some posts asking about different books you guys have been reading. But even if it doesn't have to do with social media, just expanding your knowledge every day is important. One book that I am just finishing is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Are you reading
by
that?
Mark Manson.
Do you like it?
I'm almost finished with it, and it is so eye-opening. It totally shifts your perspective. It's kind of a mind fuck, if you put it that way. So, pardon my language, but it really changes your perspective on life and helps you to look at things from a different angle. And that in itself can help you in life and in business, and it expands your mind. And when you think about things in different ways and you come at situations from a different angle, it's really just, it can only improve your day-to-day life. And so I just think trying to read, you know, set a goal for how many books you want to read, or even just pick a list of books and get them on your iPad or Kindle. Or I personally like to go to the bookstore and purchase them, because there's nothing like having a good book in your hand. But just expanding your knowledge and reading and educating yourself all the time. We're here to educate you in the group, but even just reading, it's a good way to calm your mind. It's almost like a form of meditation. You're learning, and I'm really big on that. So that is my... You'll think faster. I don't know if it's possible for me to think faster and speak. I speak faster than I can even think. Or I don't know if that's possible, but yes, I agree. So that's my final my tip of the day.
Can you tell me your favorite, like, just not even your favorite, but just one takeaway from the book, one specific takeaway?
Ooh, so this book, actually, he gives a lot of stories and examples of famous people and their failures. And I have the book in front of me right now. But one of who was it? It was someone from the Beatles. Who was the guy before Ringo Starr?
Oh, I have no idea.
It was a good example, because it showed how he was kicked out of the band, basically. He was the drummer. And this part could be wrong, but he was kicked out of the band because, you know, all the girls wanted him. He was getting all the attention and everyone was like, bye. And they brought in Ringo Starr. And I never knew this. And he was depressed, but I mean, he went on and
Pete Best. And
it's kind of like his story afterwards.
Pete Best.
And there was
that who it was?
Yeah.
Pete Best.
Who? Yes. Yeah. And he ended up, he had a family. He was really depressed for a long time, like went down a really dark path, but then ended up fine. And it was all how he chose to look at it. There was another example of another music artist who was kicked out of, was it Metallica? And he started his own. I think he was comparing the two. And this guy went off and he was so pissed that he was kicked out of, I think it was Metallica.
Uh-oh, Sydney?
Can you hear me?
Sydney? Yeah, you can.
Yeah, sorry, the phone rang. Okay, so anyways. So this guy was so pissed that he was kicked out of Metallica that he went and started his own band, which I forget the name of it because I would have to find it in the book. And it ended up being extremely successful, but not nearly, you know, as successful as Metallica. And so, you know, it just shows how he was never fully happy because he was trying to compete with somebody else. Whereas the other
Megadeth.
Guy,
he formed Megadeth. I'm Googling this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what Megadeth is.
I don't either, but it's huge. And he was super successful. But instead of looking at, you know, I'm really successful, this is what I've done, he was so focused on trying to be better than Metallica. Whereas the other guy that was kicked out of the Beatles, he realized, you know, this is my, he accepted it and he realized this is my path, and there's a reason for it. I think you can look back and see that there's a reason for everything that happens in your life. And it was just comparing the differences. This guy was miserable and just competing. The other guy went off and he had a family and all these things that a lot of, you know, the musicians in the Beatles, you know, they kind of had their personal lives weren't always as great. So this guy had all the, he had love, he still had success. It was just different, and he realized it was meant for him. Whereas the other guy just lived his life, you know, in a competition. And so I really, really liked that example. But there are so many examples in this book where it just like shows you, okay, because there's times in our lives, I think, when we get stuck in a rut and we're thinking, you know, especially with social media, like we're thinking, you know, oh, this person's doing this person's traveling here, and you start comparing yourself and you start competing. And the problem is that the only person you should be competing with is yourself, because your goals and your values are different than the other person's goals and their values, and what's right for you isn't necessarily right for the other person. And I think that that's a really important lesson to take away from this, because if you truly want to be happy, then you can truly be successful. And not that you can't be successful if you're competing with others, but it's just not a way to live. You know, live your life for you and don't care about what other people are doing. Just realize it's a lesson. It wasn't meant to be. And I think that that was a good lesson, but there's many. So I highly suggest this book. And it's a good read. Like, you should totally get it.
If you listen to this podcast today, or I guess everyone who's listened to this point of the podcast, you sure got a whole range of different things that will help you with life and business and social media.
Yes.
I hope that this podcast was really helpful for you.
Me too.
I hope it helped you get to know us a little bit more. If you have any questions about this podcast, go to our Facebook group and post the question in the comment of this podcast post. You will need to be a member of the group to do so, but please join because we would love to have you as part of our Social Solid family. And stay tuned next Monday for the next episode of the Social Solid podcast.
Thank you all for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Pause for cutting that part out.
Okay.
I know. I keep meaning to like cut stuff out and put it at the bottom, but I always forget. Like, I'll just cut and go.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. Are you ready?
Yes. So,
yeah, it is interesting. And it's one of those things. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway. And it's interesting. Okay, I'm trying to figure out a transition.
So we're giving you the updates and how you can continue to acquire more.
Uh-oh. Sydney?
Sorry, my phone is ringing. Oh, now I can't hear again. Can you hear Sydney? Me clearly?
I can hear you.
Shit. Save this.
Don't delete this podcast. Save it.